interrupt this program for a bulletin.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce a very interesting young man who's traveled from very far away to be with us tonight.
Hey, man, what's your name, brother?
First problem is...
That we can come together, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we're grateful, Father, for that which you've blessed us with, Lord God, the breath of life. Lord, that you've given us your life, your plan, your purpose. And Lord, we seek to walk with you, Father, in and through all that this life has and all that this life will be. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, Father, we just commit into your hands and into your care every trial, Lord God, every anxiety, Father, every piece of work, Lord God, everything, Father, that's on our mind and on our thoughts, Lord, we just leave it at your feet, Father. And Lord, we ask, Father, for the mind of Christ right now in our situations, Lord. Let us see like you see, Lord, think like you think, understand and act the way that you would have us to, Lord God. Let's trust you, Father, I pray. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, we take authority over every demonic spirit and every work of the devil, and we do break it and cast it out. And Lord, we proclaim, Lord, the free flow of your spirit in and through the lives of your people. So Lord, just this evening, Lord, as we go forward, Father, into your word and spend some time with you, we pray, Lord God, that your spirit that leads and guides us into all truth, lead and guide us through this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, Psalms, we're going to go back to our, this is our foundational scripture that we began with, Psalm 149, and, okay, there it is, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the tremble and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Okay. excuse me. Okay, last time we talked a little bit about the fact that, if this honor has all his saints, why don't we see people that profess to be Christians living in this kind of faith, trust, joy, power over their situations that they come into during this life? So something's out of tune. Yeah. See, here's the thing. When Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, the key to that life was that it came on his terms. See, Jesus, when he said, you know, it's like, okay, I'm coming that you can have life. But the reason he had to come was for us to be able to have that life is that he had to set down the terms by which that life can be attained. So it's like, for example, if I took a person today and I sat down with them and I said, okay, I'm going to teach you how to save $1 million. Okay, well, there's a way that you go about saving $1 million. If that person says, okay, well, I'm just going to go max out my credit cards and live like that perpetually, well, you're not moving in the right direction. You know, you keep going down that particular path, there's no way you're going to be able to save $1 million from scratch. So, likewise, there is There's terms and conditions for how you're able to do something. That may not be the best analogy, but it, obviously there's a way that if you're going to go about a certain course of action, if you want to get to a particular destination, there's a way that you go about doing it. So Jesus, when he said, look, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Okay, keep your finger in Psalms, but let's go to John. And you know where we're going in John. Yes? I'm touching on the popular ones. John 10. That's another very popular one. Okay, John, well, but let's go back to verse 1. It says, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they, yeah, you're smiling because we talked about this earlier today. Yeah, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Okay, so now when Jesus puts this down, he lays down basically the standard, which is all. He says, all that ever came before me, verse 8. So every other person besides Jesus that came before was a thief and a robber. And now see, here's the thing, is like when what you have are thieves and robbers, is that the way to have an abundant life? If you listen to the thief and you listen to the robber and you go the follow after the thief and the robber, because they hop over the fence, they come in some other way, and then they're calling after the sheep. And if the sheep follows the thief and the robber, will they now have an abundant life?
He's referring to all the people.
Yeah. 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 Well. Yeah. For the people that came before, like him, that were trying to lead the sheep. You know, because this is also talking about him being the good shepherd. See, actually, let's keep going. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, so these are hirelings, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leave the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because it is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Okay. The hireling will stay there with the sheep so long as the benefits for him from the sheep outweigh the costs to him for taking care of those sheep. So he's just a profiteer. As soon as the hireling is faced with a threat, which is a threat to maybe his own life, or a threat to his own financial state, or a threat to whatever, he's gone. Goodbye, sheep. He leaves them where they are. So really, he doesn't care for the sheep. He cares for his own fortune, his own life, his own situation. Whereas the good shepherd, in his heart, he has a love for the sheep. A true love for the sheep. Now Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. So he giveth his life for the sheep. So it's not just, you know, let me go out of my way for the sheep. He literally substitutes the word propitiation. He he gives his life in exchange for the life of the sheep. So his blood is shed on the cross And the price is paid so that you and I can be set free from death and hell and be restored to a right relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. So that's the Good Shepherd. Now, the hireling and all those others that are not him, what happens is that they now, thieves and robbers. Now, is there abundant life in following a thief or a robber? No, of course not. So when we start looking at why is it that people live beneath the joy that God intended for them to have, well, a big part of it is that they're following the wrong thing. So all of a sudden, all that glitter is now gold. Ah, so now it's starting to make sense. Because see, now when we start, see, here's the thing. You have to start asking yourself, when you see something in the Word, you're like, all right, Lord, I see this in the Word. So what's going on? This is what your Word says. Either I have a misinterpretation of what you said, in which case I want to understand, so please show me by your Spirit. You said you'd give me your Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth. You said that I need that no man teaches me, because the Holy Spirit would teach me when He comes upon me. So teach me, Lord. Either, if when I read this Word and it shows me something, either I am walking in step with you and what you're showing me is something and you're drawing me into a deeper level of truth, and so there's something I need to understand, or I've had a misconception about you. I believe something and I believe the wrong way. See, here's what happens too. A lot of people have been religified. And when you've been religified, one of the problems is so people are told all kinds of crap. And then now they've got this crap in their head, and then they believe that God needs to now honor the crap that they've been told when He never said it in the first place. So like that whole, for example, that whole name it and claim it gospel, which doesn't work. It's like, it's something that people, you know, they can't bring that to the slums in South Asia. So it's not the gospel. It's okay, name it and claim it is like something that's, it's a Western, it's kind of like, it's this thing about, okay, if you have your faith, if you have faith enough, you should be able to say, okay, there's a car over there. I name and claim that car, and I'm going to get this car in Jesus' name. You know, and using, yeah, that kind of thing. No, I'm serious. There's actually people that make a living off of crap doctrine like that. And because the people that they're appealing to are also still carnal in their own mindset, and they what happens is they themselves have found a shepherd that speaks to them out of where their own heart is, which is one that's given over to the same love for the world and the things of the world. So they have massive congregations that follow them in that. Now, if it's truth, it's got to work. It's 100% true. So now try exporting that. You know, now try taking that to bring it here. Let's go to the slums and let's take a look. No, it don't work. You know, what about? That's one of the issues that we have to always confront too. When we're going forward in the truth, is you have to confront that which is false and a lie. Because Jesus is not your holy ATM. He's not your little cash machine that now, you know, this is, you know, God is, I mean, here's what, so even then, so say for example, just hypothetically, this name it and claim it thing, say it was true. You think that, what did Jesus say? He says a man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. So even if you got that, even if you got that car, if you got that boat, if you got that house, if you got that plane, that's not abundant life. This is an inner battle, and it's a battle within that it is won within. Jesus even said in Luke 17, you know, it's a scripture we talked about plenty of times, and actually let's just flip there, you know where it is. Luke 17, and Luke 17 verse 20 says, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So even when people are looking for abundant life in the kingdom of God, when it's not something that you get from something external. So Jesus Christ came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. That abundant life that comes is one that it's the beginning of it is something that takes place within. And from that place, from within, the external manifestations are just an overflow of that which is taking place within the soul and the heart of a person. So first it flows in, and then it flows out. Now, one thing we talked about last time a little bit was how when you're walking with God, people see the light of God in you. And because they see, because your spirit's alive, and they have no life in them because they've been cut off. So now what the goal is to tap the life and the light of God that's in you, because they're not going to Him for it. So now they want to try to get it from you. So when they come and try to get it from you, the way that they access it is where you are out of alignment in your flesh or in your soul, in your mind, where you are out of alignment in those areas with the kingdom, they will then tap you in those areas. So that's why it's priority for the children of God to come into alignment with the Father in their spirit and in their flesh and in their soul. And all elements of who their being is, you need to line up with the kingdom and stay in that alignment. You see, if you can just do that, if you just are aligned in your spirit and your soul and your flesh, you now are, so many of these things will just bounce off of you. You won't be, excuse me, you won't be aware of even so much of the stuff that comes at you, because you're locked, you're sealed unto Him. And see, so many times when people are just like, they feel like drained and they're tired and they're exhausted and all of these, it's because in part in their flesh or in their soul that they're out of alignment with the Father, and so the enemy is tapping them through that. So they're draining them through that place where they're out of alignment with God. Like, for example, false doctrine. So, for example, if you have a place where now you... Okay, say for example, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things... Later, let's do an object lesson. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 6, right? Okay. I'm going to get into it here. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19. So here's Jesus. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We can keep going, but just let's just finish this whole thing. This is all good. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek first his kingdom, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay. Now, okay, Jesus laying down the standard. So now Jesus, remember, he said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But now, right here, Jesus says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and... Well, hold on a second. Wait. You came that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. And then the same Jesus is telling me not to lay up for myself treasures upon earth where moth and rust... And it also says... For where your treasure is, your heart will also be. So basically, where it's like, so now I'm now. Wait a second. You see now, if a person says, no, I think I need to lay up for myself treasures upon earth because I don't believe the rest of this chapter, which says, if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that he would take care of my needs, that he would supply all my needs. So if I don't believe that Jesus will do what it is that he said he would do, now, then what I do believe is that I believe that I need to store up treasures here because I've got to provide for myself because God might not come through. Now what happened? Well, okay, I'm out of alignment. I am, in that case right here, and just looking at this, I am now out of alignment in my soul, in my mind, with what the Word of God says. And because I'm out of alignment there, now what's happened? Okay, where's my time going? It's going into a particular pursuit because you put your time in the places where you believe. You put your energy behind that which is important in your priority. So now my time is going in this place, in a particular line. And because my mind has an out of alignment opening, so now those that see, people in the world that see the light of God in me, because I'm one of His, but now that also see that, you know, hey, my pursuit is something different, now they're able to, in a spiritual realm, tap that life force of God that's flowing in me because I'm connected to the vine and drain me. So now what's happening is I'm on this pursuit and I'm tired and I'm exhausted and I'm not fulfilled and I'm going about this thing and yes, maybe I'm amassing some kind of material wealth in this world, but it's empty and there's no abundant life in that. You may die in that pursuit. You may do that for 5 years and you just saved yourself up $500,000 and now you're dead. Was that abundant life? Your estate's going to be cut up by the government and some grubby little kids that you never gave a godly foundation to in the first place, and they're all going to fight over whatever's there like vultures. And what kind of life? What kind of inheritance? What are you passing on? So that couldn't have been it. But you see the deception, what happens? See, so what happens is when we read the Word and the Spirit of God quickens it to us. See, thank God for the Word, because one thing that happens is now when you read it, it's helping you to bring your mind into alignment with His mind. Ultimately, we want the mind of Christ. Let His thoughts be your thoughts, His ways your ways. If just imagine because not many people do this, but just imagine if you did this. If you really believed that, verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Imagine if you didn't think and didn't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, or what tomorrow would bring. And if in the course of not worrying about that, that God would take care of your food, your what you need to wear on your back, and what's coming tomorrow, because He holds that in His hand. And He really did take care of all those things. And you never, for the rest of your life, ever once had to worry about what you would eat and what you would wear and what's coming tomorrow. And you never had to worry about it. It was 100% guaranteed, taken care of. It's all fine. Isn't that a nice relief? Isn't that a burden off your shoulders? Isn't that just like, wait a second.
That's what everyone is doing.
Yeah. So see, what happens is right there, Jesus said, look, let me make it simple for you. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Now, here's, again, this is where these stupid teachers, and Lord forgive me, these people that what they do is they'll take this verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So they say, okay, you know, go after the kingdom and you'll get all this stuff. Now, serious, these guys, this is the same group. It's the same group of carnal preachers that did this whole thing where it's just like, look, go after God and you'll get all this stuff. So now you want your car, you want your boat, you want your plane, now put your Jesus stamp on it. And it's like they miss the whole thing. And the problem is in the end, they end up destroying the lives of so many people. Because in the end, they are thieves and robbers. And people live beneath what it is that God intended for them. See, there's people that have, and we know enough of these people, that have things in the world, as far as what the world would say, this should make your life something, this should make your life satisfying, and they're incredibly unsatisfied. They're incredibly miserable. So then it's like, okay, so that's not it. No, what they get is they get little windows where they can ramp themselves up for a moment in time. They can get a quick temporary high, but it's an empty high too. And then when that moment is gone, they are even more empty after than they were even before. And usually they've killed off even more of their physical being as a result of that than they did prior to. So that's why you can see a lot of these rock stars that live this particular life, and by the time they're in their 30s, they look like they're in their 60s. I mean, they just wore out, and then they're piecemealing themselves together with plastic surgery and trying to nip and tuck and put this here and grandma put it away. And then it's just like, and it's like you just get this, I mean, such a twisted, distorted reality. And then they have to stay on this spinning hamster wheel and keep putting out more and more stuff and stay in that whole genre. And pretty soon they just become a monster. Whereas what God has called His people to, He takes us from glory to glory, from strength to strength. We're free in Him. See, the beauty of walking with Christ, and one of the joys that we have as one of His children, is look, He's taking care of everything. He's taking care of everything. You know, when you can realize that Jesus Christ, that in Him we live and move and have our being, and He has taken care of everything. You know what that means? That means for me, if God tells me, and if I'm in step with Him, He can pick me up and have me off in Zimbabwe in a week, and I can go there with nothing. I can go there just wearing a swimsuit. And when I get there, that all things will be taken care of and put together by His hand. And I can exist there for as long as it is that God has for me to be there. And if I followed Him in that line, I will have brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus all the way around the world and have an amazing adventure walking with Him in that. That's fact. Now, that's for God's people. That's the kind of thing that we have promised for us. The world is afraid to go out its back door. The world is afraid to leave its compound because for them, whenever they step out, they're all waiting to bite and devour each other. There is no loyalty in the world and the world system. They just will use and be used to the extent that they possibly can to climb up as high as they can. And it's such a crappy system. It's such a crappy system. I understand how people get pulled into it, but you got to be stupid to stay there, especially when you see the light, and especially when you know that Christ Jesus can set you free. Here's the reality of it. The reality is that Christ Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, is sufficient to, and the value of the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to pay for the sins of the entire world, and sufficient to pay for that individual person, everything they've ever done, ever. And if that person will receive that gift of life that comes in Christ Jesus and will allow and just basically take that, receive that, and then go with the Lordship of Christ, they'll be set free. Now why would you stay there? Even those that have been so heavily ingrained, so heavily indoctrinated, if they hear the gospel and they receive that gospel, it's sufficient to draw them out of the deepest deceptions, the worst bondage, the worst witchcraft. The power of God is sufficient to take them out. But in their heart, they have to. One thing that they have to be willing to do is, Lord, I bow my knee before You. They have to receive His forgiveness. Lord, please forgive me. Cleanse me. Bring me out. Bring me unto Yourself. I don't want to go this way anymore. I want to serve You. See, His power is sufficient. His angels are stronger. He can bring anyone out at any point in time. But you know, the thing is like, while you still have breath in your body, you know, because you get this life, and when this window of life is done, you know, God help you if you go on from this life into the next out of alignment with Him. If your spirit is not in connection with Him when you die, what do you think happens? If your spirit is not in connection with Him when you die, and you're spiritually dead, then what you are is now, you never were born. You never were born in the Spirit. So because you were never born in the Spirit, you are eternally dead. And you're just thrown away, because there's no life in you. So, you know, See, for us as the saints of God, that one of the joys that we have is we're alive. We're alive. You know, though we walk through a world where there's a lot of things, there's a lot of issues, a lot of problems, but we are alive. And we're here, we know Him, He knows us, we walk with Him, His Spirit leads and guides us, and we have a hope and a future where they don't. And I mean, you know, we make it known. See, that's another thing too, is that part of our existence and part of us existing in Him is to make it known that yes, you can exist and walk with Him, and though they throw everything in the kitchen sink at you, you just continue to walk through this world just fine, unscathed. yeah, you know that they really don't like you that much, but that's fine. You ain't got a problem with that. Because in the end, you belong to Him. The only person that has to approve our lives in the end is Him. See, I don't need the approval of my family. I don't need the approval of my friends. I don't need the approval of people that are close to me, co-workers, nothing. The only person that ultimately has to approve of my life is the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that's got to say, yeah, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, without that, without His approval, you can get all the approvals of the world. The world can give you all of its accolades, all of its awards. You can win trophy after trophy, and you can be on the front page of every magazine, but it doesn't mean anything. All of it's for naught. All of it is empty. Because at the end, who remembers 2 years ago who was on what, where, when? Who won the Academy Award or the Golden Globe or the Oscar or the Emmy or the whatever other shows and showcases that they have, or Bollywood Awards or the BAFTAs? Who cares? You can have all the approval of men, but if you miss the one person that really has to approve your life, you miss the whole thing. So, for us, it's a lifelong pursuit of knowing Him. John 17, John 17 and verse 3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Okay. So this is life, that we know Him. Now that relationship, as we walk with Him, gets deeper and stronger as we continue to go through life with Him. It gets deeper and stronger as this word is applied to our life. So for example, back to Matthew 6, if I take hold of this and this understanding of, look, I don't need to worry about what I wear, I don't need to worry about what I'm going to eat, I don't need to worry about what tomorrow is going to bring. If I just seek Him first, He'll take care of those things. If I apply that to my life, and now I have a trust now with Him, because when I start to see it true, I'm like, oh cool, I don't have to, you don't need a retirement. You don't need a retirement fund. That whole thing about people getting their retirement and their hedge funds and all those kind of things, I don't need it. I already have it right here. He promised me that if I would seek Him first, that my entire life that He'd take care of my needs. So I'm covered. So now what happens? Now I can take that weight off of my shoulders of having to try to do all of that. And then I can just be like, okay Lord, so what shall we focus on? What shall we put our efforts and our energies? Where shall we spend our times? What would you like to talk about? Instead of me coming before you of, Lord, please buy me a Mercedes-Benz and Lord me. No, instead of all that nonsense, what shall we talk about? What's close to His heart? What was it that He would like to show you? Allow Him to reveal a mystery to you. Allow Him to stir you to something. Allow Him to quicken your heart on behalf of somebody else. Oh gosh, I wish the saints of God had a heart for somebody else besides themselves. So often people get caught up in their own situation, in their own misery, whatever it is that they feel like they're in, and they miss their own brother and their own sister that's right there that really could use somebody that's in far worse of a condition than they ever would be, and that could just use somebody praying for them. But because they're obsessed about what their own life is, They would to God that God's people would pray for one another and not just for themselves. You know, I really hope for that. I really hope that people start just making it a point to find out what's going on in the realm of spirit and pray for each other. Because God's people need that. You know, we need to take authority over these situations because God's given you that power. And make a kingdom stand on behalf of someone else. Okay. But see, one thing is for us, we have this. We've been given this power, we've been given this strength, we've been given this authority by the Spirit of God. But part of it is making, is applying that to our life. For example, too, like say, you know, exercise programs or something like that. Somebody can be given, you know, here, this is the perfect exercise program to get yourself in shape. And you can be given that. But until you apply that program, it can make all the sense in the world on the paper. And you could have gotten yourself a gym membership. And you could have, you know, set a time that you're going to go and bought the spandex pants and all those things. But then the thing is, at the end of the day, unless you actually go to the gym and apply that program to your body, you won't see the results of it. So this is the same thing with the Word. Unless you apply this Word to your spirit and to your life and then live this, you won't ever see the abundant life that God intended. Too many people are caught up in Bible study and not in living the Word. I'll say it again. Too many people are caught up in studying the Bible and not living the Word. Jesus Christ, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh. So what happened was this Word took on flesh, came and walked around in the world and lived it. We're called to ultimately be living the Word. Where you and I are fused together, consummated with the Spirit of God, where there is no separation between us and Him. He and the Father, us and Him, no division, no separation, where ultimately we and the Word of God are the same. We are one in Him, He's one in us. There's like, so when people see us, there is no distinction anymore. There is no separation anymore. If they see you, they see a reflection of Christ Jesus. They see a reflection of the Word of God. And it's not because you're trying to be that. It's not because you're trying to, okay, I just need to try to be a witness. No, you just are a witness. You're not trying to be a witness, you just are. You're not trying to reflect the Spirit of God, you just do. Yeah, see, God calls us to be in the end. And see, part of all of this too is like, is also a yielding unto Him. See, we apply the Word, but also we realize our limitations. And so too, one thing that, you know, so often we do when we pray, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, is what you're doing is you're like, Lord, I want this. I read it here, but I also realize that in myself, I can't do this. So I yield my will to Your will for Your will to be done. And then He does that. See, He's looking for a willing vessel. He's looking for somebody that's willing to allow Him to do and to be what it is that He wants to be in that life. He's not going to force it. If people want a career in the world and that's what they want, they can have it. You're not going to have abundant life, but you will have your career. You know, if you want membership in a satanic church, you can have it. You know, you can have it. You won't have abundant life, but you can have your membership. You know, if you want a political affiliation or if you want to marry this person or date that person, you can, sure, you can have all of that, but you won't have abundant life. The only way that you'll have the abundant life that God intended for you is on His terms. This means when He says go, you go. When He says stop, you stop. When He says left, you go left. When He says right, you go right. When He applies, when He gives you rhema for this day, when He gives you your daily bread, you eat that bread and you continue on the journey that He has for you. And when He breaks off that rhema to you, it's what you need this day to sustain you. So one day He'll speak to you, and for one particular person, it will be like, look, you need to go left. For the next person, in that same juncture, it's like, no, for you, you need to go straight. You need to take this job right now. I want you to work a particular job. Someone else is like, look, I want you to leave your job because you don't need that anymore. Or you do need this right now. I want to send you somewhere else. I want you to do something else. God's people keep looking for formulas, and it's a living relationship. It's not a formula. Tell me the formula for talking to your mom. You know, do you have a formula? No. There's no formula. It's a relationship. So if there's no formula for talking with and dealing with and relating to a finite human being with limited capacity, limited expression and ability, what makes you think you'll be able to find a formula for God? It's a living relationship. In Him we live and move and have our being. So people have to learn to surrender themselves to whatever it is that He's doing. When you learn that, you step out of trying to be in the driver's seat. See, people want a formula because when they have one, then they can try to control it. And it doesn't work like that. God sees through people. He sees their heart. And He knows where they're coming from. And nobody's controlling God. He is the head. You have one head, which is Christ Jesus. And guess what? You're not it. And I'm not it. And nobody is it. It's Him. And in fact, you know, back to this whole thing about all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. In John 10, the sheep won't follow them. God's sheep to this day follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. We follow the voice of Christ Jesus. We won't follow another. And so even when we have people that have responsibility in the body of Christ for preaching and teaching the Word, for sharing whatever it is that God's given, it's again what He's given. And it's His voice speaking through that person. And it's His voice speaking through that person. And the thing about it is, like, in the end, when that person, if that person can get out of the way, see, they recognize the fact that it's not them. They're not trying to draw anybody to themselves. They're not trying to amass a following. They will let go of anybody and anything and everything there's nothing in this whole thing that they want for themselves. They're just trying to carry out a charge that they've been given by Him. So when a person when a person's out of line with that, when a person tries to they want to be the person that stands between God and the sheep. Now you have a hireling again. Now you have somebody that wants to be the intermediary when there is no intermediary between us and the Father. It's just Christ Jesus. When you do have certain people that God gives responsibility for communicating certain things, but when He does, it's that which He's speaking to your heart. So when you hear it, it's just like, Yeah, because you know why? Because that's something that God was dealing with you on. That was something that He was speaking to you about. You had a question, you had a concern, and then God used that person to, because it's part of His, so He can use that person, He can speak to you through the trees and the wind, He can speak to you in your prayer time, He can speak to you in the Word. It's all part of it and all part of that relationship that you have with Him. But when somebody's like, nope, I am now your holy man, and you will now come every Sunday and listen to me, because if you don't, you're not going to know what God's trying to say to you. Oh, give me a break. You know, you don't know what God's trying to say. How are you going to tell me? Because if they've taken a satanic affiliation, how in the world are they going to hear anything from that? So the joy that we have is also to the fact that for us, abundant life is there. And we were made for something in particular, and we can move into that. See, that's something that for us, there's abundant life that's there, but it's something that, it's like in our heart, it's like you know it's there, you want it, you're like, okay, there's, for His people, it's like, okay, I want this, I know it's there, I'm seeking this. See, that's, the promised land is a type. You know, it's a place of rest, and when we see through, like, you know, the children of Israel and the whole thing about, you know, Egypt being the world and bondage, and then they got the wilderness experience and all of that. The promised land, I mean, it's this thing that's like, I want to get there. You know, I know that's there. There's this place of rest for my soul that and it's a place of, it's just that, it's the promise. Promised land, it's the place where, so even like that, that's a type, and even for us, it's like, you know there's more. You know that in your spirit that there's more than what it is that you've already, and you want that. You can't live without that. So, you know what happens, and this is where sometimes it's like when people, because of the fact that they don't have it, then they start getting off on tangents. Rather than pressing through, you know, the wilderness, they try to find some kind of way out, or they dilute it, or they do whatever, or they get into some kind of tangents, and then they get off track. And it's like, no, just keep following the leading and the voice of the Spirit of God, because as you continue to do that, because He's got to take you through something. Part of even the wilderness experience for God's people is He's testing your heart. He's revealing what's in you so that you can know that it's there. He already knows that it's there. But He's revealing in the wilderness so that you can know what's in there, so that it can now be dealt with, and you can bring that before the Father and allow Him to deal with that which is in you. See, the trials and the tribulations that people face, what they do is they reveal what's already there in you.
So most of the time people reach the point of thinking it's for someone else.
Oh gosh, yeah. See, you know, it's just like when people, they miss what God's doing. See, God's not interested in your comfort. If you think God's interested in your comfort, then just look at Jesus on the cross. You know, God's not interested in your comfort. What He wants is His will to be done. He will give you an abundant life past anything that you could ever have in this world. But it comes on His terms. You know, this is again the irony. See, this is where like people don't, they can't grasp it because they've been so brainwashed. But there's an incredible satisfaction that comes from living a life of purpose, of connection, of relationship, of God's divine plan being manifest in and through you. There's an incredible satisfaction that comes from that, that doesn't come from anything else. And without that, you can have all the toys in the world, but you're empty. And so it's like, so for God's people, it's like we have that. And once you've tasted that, you won't be satisfied with anything less. When you've tasted what it's like to walk in connection with the Spirit of God, to know His voice, to see His purposes manifest, to be part of what He's doing, to be part of what the God of this universe is doing in this life. Yeah, and what else do you, what else is going on that's so important that you would want to go do that now? You see what I'm saying? So it's like when you've actually experienced the life of God and you realize that you can live in this life and walk this thing out day in and day out for your entire existence in this world, there's nowhere else that you want to go. There's nothing else that you'd rather be part of. There's nothing else that is worth you letting go of that which you have in Him in exchange for that. The devil will try to deceive you. He'll try to show you shortcuts. He'll try to say, oh, here, try this. But in the end, it's a lie. And in the end, though we hear those hirelings calling, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they won't follow another. You see through them. You know that in the end, it's like, no, not so much. So for us, for me, you know, one thing is like, I'm like, I've been there, done that. I know there's nothing there. See, here's what one thing that I've learned is He speaks directly to His people. If somebody asks Him and seeks Him with all their heart, He'll meet them right there. And so we have that. We have that joy. You have the joy of knowing your Father for the rest of the time that you're in this world and for all eternity. You have the joy of walking with the Creator of this entire universe. You have the joy of being called according to His purposes. You have the promises that are there for God's people are mind-blowing. Most people have never even read what they are. Some of what they are. They're just still looking for something in the world. If just Him saving us is enough for us to spend the rest of our lives in gratitude. Just that alone should just be something where we would be singing for the rest of our life. Just over that. But even past that, He gives us purpose and reason and gives us authority and allows us to walk in that through this life where nothing by any means will hurt His people. And then when the time for us to leave is done, we leave and we go. See, even for us, it's like, yeah, the world may think that it does whatever it does to us, but it doesn't. It's got no, just like with Jesus. When He was before Pilate, He said, look, you would have no... And like Pilate's like, don't you realize that I can, you know, crucify you? I've got the power to crucify you or let you go. And Jesus said, look, you know, you would have no authority, you would have no power over me unless it was given to you of my Father. And He said, the one that handed me over to you is guilty of the greater sin. You know, basically do what you got to do. And so really even there, He's like, look, put Pilate in his place. Like, that was all part of God's plan and purpose being worked out. So Pilate, thinking he's a big shot, realized, look, Pilate, you're just a cog in the wheel. Get on with it. Continue to turn, because the only reason that you have anything in this situation is because God allowed you to be in that place. But, you know, for this play to continue, you better get on with your part. And so there's a ton of cogs in the wheel all over the place. But the life and the light of God is with His true people. And we are the ones that are living out this amazing drama here in this life and in this world. And there are God's real ones are out there, and we should enjoy the fellowship and the life that we have with each other. We're in an amazing time right now in the kingdom of God. And so realize that the abundant life that God intended for us is there, but it's on His terms. And so we bring our lives into an alignment in our spirit, our soul, our minds, and our flesh, so that we then can walk this out. And as we walk this out and the abundant life is manifest in us, we take full joy in the fulfilled life that God gave and granted us in Jesus' name.